You can open the channel if you're ready.
Sure.
Save changes.
And the floodgates are open.
Yeah.
I think Twomp was the clear winner.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's edition of the Natalie Portman Fan Club.
Man, I hate those gifts that are really short. They get on my nerves after like 5 seconds. Stop sitting back down. Anyway.
That's what Better Every Loop exists for.
All right.
You good?
I think I'm good.
Is it just that initial burst? Do people trickle in slowly after that, or are we good?
I don't know.
Sounds like a personal problem.
People too despondent to tune in without Craig?
That's why you should have advertised it. We'd have 100 people in here.
Alpha team with this week's dead wrestler memorial. Oh, poor King Kong Bundy. All right, let me grab these show notes and get started. Greetings, true believers, and welcome to the 183rd installment of the Puzzle Warriors 3. We are the Puzzle Warriors, Chaos 72, Sneaky Beat 15. He's Ray. I'm Ian, founders of the Puzzle Warrior Alliance. This week, we have been upgraded from our usual coach seat to business class. We're now playing with Transformers instead of GoBots. Welcome, Craig's replacement, UNC Samurai.
They put their faith in blast hard cheese.
All right, let's get rolling. This is the week of March 6th through March 13th, 2019. Deadpool Dailies. I, being the script maker this week, was apparently too lazy to look up the colors of the covers you're going to get. So you okay. Don't get that this week. You get Sentry. You get Dark Reign Punisher. You get Blade. You get Patch, you get the Human Torch, Colossus, and Cyclops.
That's really only important if you're, you know, in the three-star land. If you've already got your three-stars champ,
right.
You don't really care about the color, so.
True story. Maybe
only
that's
hurting
what
a few
was.
People.
Okay. Sorry, people who are building up their rosters, but feel confident that you're going to get a cover that you need. Now, the five-day four-star crash.
Help, I'm stuck in the Haunted Mansion!
I was not prepared for that. You cut to that real quick.
Going on right now, Carol Danvers' Captain Marvel is battling, I want to say, five-star Iron Man?
Yeah.
Yes. So, let me just go ahead and apologize for putting the wrong character on the sheet last week.
Right on.
That was my fault. I made the mistake I always complain about. I was rushed for time. I looked at the game pendium instead of in my game.
Mm.
But we got to see Craig go off the deep end. So I call that a win-win.
Well, it was, you know, five-star Captain Marvel. So it wasn't, you know, an out-of-control beating, but it was close.
Four-star Captain Marvel?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, four-star Captain Marvel. Pretty much ran through Iron Man. He tried, but there wasn't any hope for him.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know what level they had him at. I didn't pay that much attention, but yeah, it wasn't right. And I'm sure the same is true for you, Samurai. Level 349.
Yeah, so Mark 46 decided to make a red match. That was his mistake. I dropped her countdown on turn 3 and he was dead by turn 5.
I don't doubt it.
Coming up on Saturday, Gwenpool is picking a fight with Ray's buddy Moon Knight. That is going to go really well for everybody but me. I'm pretty sure that 102 isn't going to cut it with my least favorite character in the game.
Yeah, those are the two colors you need, but
right.
The best you can level up to is about 90, and I think that's not quite enough punch to deal with Moon Knight.
For sure. I will see if she, you know, any more covers trickle in, but, you know.
I'm proud to see that you finally kept her on the roster, though.
Yeah, me too. It's all thanks to Grinch. But, so yeah, that should be easy for the rest of you guys. So, story events. New story event on the horizon. starting tomorrow. Cosmic Chaos as part of the Captain Marvel extravaganza. It's a 4-day event that will be going on. New pictures, new words, new sounds. Turn all those things on and enjoy the story just one time and then go back to ignoring it. You can squeeze some Luke Cages and a Bishop out of progression, and you can get Prowler and She-Hulk out of placement. Now, PvP for the space season. You've got Right-Hand Man starting right now. Coulson-themed PvP. You get some Captain Americas and some Agent Coulsons out of progression, and you can get Captain Marvel and Scarlet Witch out of placement. And then the Fight and Flight. Is that new? Has there been a Captain Marvel PvP prior to this?
You are asking the wrong person as far as I'm concerned.
I'm kind of asking Samurai.
Three-star
I'm never genuine. Yeah, that's Fly, Fight, and Win, so I'm used to that. This one looks new to me.
I think this might be four-star Carols.
Right. Honestly, Right-Hand Man looks new to me.
It's been so, like, for the longest time, we just didn't have four-star PvPs after their new release, and so the names just disappeared into the nether regions of my brain.
That's fine. You can get a Scarlet Witch and a Captain Marvel from progression there, and you can get the top finishers, get Rocket and Groot. Everyone else gets a Psylocke or nothing.
Okay, Daywalker's on point. It is the four-star Carol PvP.
Yes, absolutely it is. I didn't know if it happened before. Yep, nope, I definitely can see the difference between this and Fly, Flight, and Win. I just didn't know.
Grinch says it's not new, so I'm going to have to go with him.
I feel like after about the sixth or seventh four-star that came out, somewhere in the Professor X Electro range, right after that, they started a pattern of, we release the character, we give you a couple days to finish up the PvE, and then we have the PvP event where you can get the placement cover. And I, by the time she came around, I think they were pretty well entrenched in that schedule.
Cool.
It has run twice. It ran in July 2018.
Ooh, sounds recently reworked to me.
Is that for her 75th anniversary?
Sure. Yes, that sounds accurate.
That sounds about right.
I was going to say, these alternate covers seem reminiscent of July 2018, so that sounds good. Ray, is the simulator still running?
Yes. Yes, cool. It is.
All right.
I think we got this week. I think it ends Sunday.
Cool. Yep. Did you get your, Namor cover?
I certainly did, and have been knocked back down to 1,400 points. So,
all right. Well, as long as you got your cover.
It was the longest time I have ever had getting the 2,000 points in simulator. I think I'd played 63 games, so I almost made it by wins.
Oh wow!
I just kept getting beat down. I couldn't do anything. All of the I do appreciate all the people telling me what characters to use against Kitty and Rocket Groot, but it doesn't work.
Well. The problem on my end is I've been switching back and forth between Thorkoye and Gritty because people are starting to champ their bishops.
Right.
And Bishop is the 4-star tiers, 5-star anti-tank gun.
Yes, absolutely. He is dangerous if you're abusing 5 stars against him. But in any case, I did finish it. Sunday, you're good.
Cool. Well done.
Grinch McScrooge. The best team to use against Kitty teams is Skip and ISO 8.
Yep.
That's fair. All right, Ray, you ready to throw down? You ready for another superhero showdown?
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah,
brought
sure.
Brought to you by Battle Cry. But before we step into the dodecagon, let's see what happened last week between the brave and noble North Star and the sad, sad mystic.
The dodecagon, are you're toning it down a bit?
I am. I'm going. I asked... I asked my son what his favorite shape was, and to know what we were going to use today. And I was hoping it was going to be something like a triangle, but he said he told me dodecahedron, and I was like, man, you're going to have a long, not cool life ahead of you, buddy. But he was like, he was all excited. He's like, I want to see a dodecahedron. I was like, talk to Uncle Ray or Uncle Craig. They have 1 million of them.
It is the least used die in Dungeons & Dragons, which is why every time I make a chart, it uses 12-sided dice.
But anyway, how did how'd the voting shape up?
So it was, let me give you this first. This was a long answer, but I thought it was worth it. Say Noyer Soublier said, North Star wins because of a few key reasons. One, it took far too long to actually Google Modred, trying various forms of Mystic, Marvel, and comics, and trying to spell Mystic in different ways. Branding is everything, doofus. Number two, the time of old white hetero dude is long past. You had your millennium and a half, Modred. Although Northstar is apparently a French-Canadian, which ordinarily would lose the match, the shrieking of the old white dude around an out gay man renders Modred unable to cast any magical spells before being vanquished. And number three, seriously, what a terrible name. Modred, I feel like you're missing an R there. So...
Yes!
Unfortunately, Mystic did, Modred the Mystic did manage to get more votes. Northstar loses because the only Canadian allowed to win anything is Ryan Reynolds and maybe Colin McCree. We got a comment saying Ronan got robbed last week, but Mystic seems like an easy win since he's got loads of magic. I guess I'm a homophobe. So there's a lot of different votes, but it was a clear win. Mystic got actually all but two votes.
That's so fair. That's fine. I did enjoy that tirade. That is fair. His name is dumb and lazy. All right. So this week you see the return of the brave interstellar race, the Shi'ar, versus everybody's favorite groundskeeper. The Gardener, Elder of the Universe, and, you know, beardy guy.
All around cool dude.
Yeah.
All right. So we have gone over these characters before, but yes. The Shi'ar, I'm pretty sure when we did the Shi'ar previously, you went with one Shi'ar.
Yes. Yes. The whole race just seemed to unbalance the possibility of them being beaten.
I tend to agree. It seems a bit ridiculous. So according to the Wasp, the Shi'ar are not stronger than normal humans. However, everything else I read...
Don't they have avian bone syndrome?
Well, everything else I read says that they can lift at least 1 ton on Earth-like gravity.
Oh, snap.
And they have far greater stamina. So, you know, that sounds decent. So, but no real superpowers, apart from being, you know, reasonably strong. And decent stamina. But, yeah. I'm sorry, I got nothing. I don't have any idea how I would approach it defeating an elder in combat. That just seems...
It's going to be tough. You know, primordial power is pretty potent.
Yeah.
He does have, you know, he has plant control, which, you know, isn't the best. It's not going to get you that far, but better than nothing. He's got levitation and telekinesis. Both powers possessed by, Wonder Boy from Tenacious D. So that's got to be worth something. Can kill a yak with mind bullets. Yeah, unfortunately, I see this again, not to discount the Shi'ar as a whole, but one generic Shi'ar citizen versus the Gardener. I see it being a pretty swift defeat on my end. I feel like my levitation, can you fly or do you just have hollow bird bones?
I don't see anything about being able to fly, so right. I think I'm going to try and run up to you and punch you really hard, and all then right. be surprised when that does next to nothing.
Yeah, I think I'm going to
thwomp. I mean, anybody can fly once.
Right. I think I'm going to thwomp you DJ style, but I mean, I'll leave Garner it to the people.
Garner has all the tools. He's not afraid to get dirty, rooted in tradition. He's an absolute force to reckon with on the outside. I think this is a one-sided contest.
I agree.
Sorry, I was reading Twomp the GJ's comment. He said, this is where Ian is somehow for beating elders, since he doesn't like people with disabilities achieving things.
That's... Wait, man. No, not like... Well, not disabilities that you've gained by a full life and old age. I mean, like, if you, you know, are an amputee and you run a marathon. Man. just gets my goat.
Yeah, I can't run a marathon, and I have no excuse.
Yeah!
I mean,
so you're saying that a one-legged man winning a marathon makes you hopping mad?
I am now. Consider that stolen. All right. Get your votes out to Ray via email or hashtag superhero showdown or here in this ever-changing tapestry of Discord. The Gardener versus the Shi'ar.
If you don't know who we're talking about and you want to check out their abilities, you can always go to puzzlewarriors3.com, click the brackets thing, and every character that we're talking about has a link that takes you to their wiki page. So you can read all about them.
All right.
Somebody's already voting.
Yeah. Where are we now? Oh, all right. This week on It's Always Sunny in Xandar, Thunder Gun Express. Take it away, Samurai.
So tell me, Ian.
Yes.
Do you like movies about gladiators?
I traditionally, yes.
You ever been in a Sakaaran prison?
not to date, no.
You ever seen a grown Hulk naked?
Oh, man. That is gold.
I knew this was coming, and it's still amusing.
I did not know it was coming. But then everywhere I go in that movie in my brain, I'm like, nope, that's not appropriate for this show. Nope, neither is that. Nope, just let it go. Just let him get on with it.
The G version of that movie is basically him saying there's a sale at Penny's.
Yeah, so tell me about Thor. I hear good things about him.
All right, so a little bit of backstory on Thor. If you want to rehash that, go listen to episode 162 of the Puzzle Warriors 3 podcast, where we talk about Main Event Hulk. Because it's pretty much that story on the other side of the coin. So let me just go ahead and get straight into the crunch on Thor, because, you know, last week we did Gambit, or y'all did Gambit. You know, he pretty much dominated the meta for about a year, and then we were all liberated from his overpoweredness. And then Thor is not the king of the five-star meta anymore, but he's still a pretty, you know, he and Kitty are probably about 50-50 at this point. So what makes him so good for those of you who haven't quite broken in the five-star tier yet? So first you've got Green, God of Thunder. For 12 green, when you get his first token, it drops an 1800-point AoE attack. Every cover you get, the damage just goes up. The biggest part about his green, though, is his passive. Once he's at 50% health, he starts destroying basic tiles. His first cover, he's destroying 2, then it goes up to 3, at 4 covers it goes up to 4, and finally at full covers, he's destroying 5 tiles a turn. A lot of people destroy tiles, but the biggest thing about Gladiator Thor is his destruction generates AP. He creates, at 50% health, he's creating the AP that he needs to fire his powers. His red, Asgardian Tactics, is his single target damage. For 9 red, with your first red token, you're dealing 1814 damage. You're ignoring protect tiles, and you're doing an extra 88 damage for every special tile you have on the board. That goes up and up and up and up until at full covers at 450. He's doing 12,585 damage, plus another 686 damage for every special tile you have on the board. Now, how do you get special tiles on the board with him, assuming that you don't have an ally that's doing that for you? Well, now you get to his yellow. Smoldering Fire, Raging Fire. It starts out as Smoldering Fire. For 9, you get a repeater tile, makes a protect tile every turn. They start out at strength 117. Eventually, they'll max out at, you know, 600 if that's your dump color. 823 if you go full yellow. Once you put that repeater tile out, you get Raging Fire. For 12 yellow, you deal a huge hunk of damage. It starts out at about 3,500, but if you go full covers at 450, he's dealing 26,000 damage. It's a very powerful ability.
Wow.
I'm sorry. I should also add that Raging Fire has a passive. When his repeater then disappears, and it switches back to the other power, it converts all of his protect tiles to strike tiles, just like 4-star Danny Rand. So, you know, there's just tons of damage coming out of this character everywhere. You can reliably run 5-star Thor in shield clearance levels 6, 7, and 8 with just a couple of green covers. You want somebody covering for him, regardless of what you're doing. You know, he's been a bedrock of my PvP now for about a year. It's the biggest dance that you will do every match is making sure that somebody is tanking for Thor. The perfect obvious choice these days is Okoye. Before that, it was generally, for me, it was Jessica Jones. I tried to make sure that she was at a certain level so that her red would tank for Thor, so I didn't have to worry about match tile opportunities that would put him out in front, because he's got a tremendous amount of hit points, but if he's running at 50%, there are a number of AoEs out there that will disintegrate him very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Even in the meta right now, Okoye boosted any AoE will destroy him. You know, if he's already running at 50% health and you're facing a gritty team, you do not want him to be out in front, because, you know, half strength is probably about 25, 26, 27,000 health. That will disappear very quickly if Gritty's strike tile engine gets up and running. The obvious answer here is to run him 5-5-3. The green is just absolutely no question. His red is just, it's just a brutally efficient damage. His yellow is nice. It's the best. It's one of the best powers I've ever seen that I would never consider maxing his covers in, because the others are just that good. And there are so many people that you can pair him with that that their yellow is going to be better than his. The first and foremost, Okoye. So that's the character that for a good long while in Five Star Land was the be all end all. And that's changing a little bit, because it was funny, because I remembered about a year ago after Gambit got nerfed. Not to rag on the people that run the forums. I'm sure they're very nice people, but the forums kind of got a little swampy with people screaming that, oh, you need to nerf Thor. Well, let's just hold off and see how he does. And it turns out there are other characters out there that can keep him in check. And of course, the biggest thing is, in order to maximize his usefulness, you have to have him at 50% health, which means if I'm getting ready to start a PvP event, I generally want to run my easy nodes in PvE first, so I can pair him with 5-star Thanos and knock his health down, so that when I go into my first PvP match, he's already down to near where I need him to be. So that's 5-star Thor in a nutshell. Did I miss anything?
No.
I don't think so.
Nope, that was a lot of planning ahead there at the end too. That's a lot of damage. I was it reminded me why I'm just don't excel at this game, because you're reading me his power, because I'm not in the 5-star zone, and I don't know much about Thor other than everybody says he's great, and you're like, here, this power does this, this power does this, this power is amazing. And then you're like, so 5-5-3, I was like, oh, but he said amazing, I believed him when I wanted to do 26,000 damage. And it all came undone. I was like, oh, this is the worst.
Well, it's just like, imagine that you're handed
a menu. Justify it, I believe you.
and you're handed three dishes, and you say, you can have this really awesome hamburger. Or you can have this all-you-can-eat steak buffet. Or you can have this other amazing thing. And you go, man, that hamburger looks good, but I'm not going to turn down all-you-can-eat steak buffet. Because
all-you-can-eat
steak buffet is how you get kicked out of the family-style restaurant in Lancaster during the...
That's why you're banned from the Sizzler.
Yeah.
All right, that's what's always sunny in Xandar. Thank you. So let's see. Ray has Willy Lumpkin brought us...
Who's Always Sunny brought to us by?
It's Always Sunny in Xandar. That is the sponsor.
Okay.
Ray, did Willy Lumpkin bring us any good mail this week?
He sure did. I was being fairly aggressive and pared it down quite a bit. However, I still have a decent amount because D-Wing Illinois posted, I don't know, a life story of Wall of Text. But the thing is, a lot of his comments are funny, so I try to leave them in. But in any case, I'm going to start on the D3 forums, actually. Wime Time said that for fighting Gritty Kitty, the best team has been Daredevil and Black Suit Spider-Man. And that's fine. I don't have either covered so that I can use them, so that it doesn't help. But in any case, the reason why you have Spider-Man reducing the strike tiles to zero and three potential stuns. Now, so as it turns out, Black Suit Spider-Man, his purple, if you have it high enough at rank 5, it does 100% damage reduction of strike tiles. So, yeah, that pretty much eliminates the reason Kitty is so powerful with Rocket Groot. So, That makes perfect sense. But he goes on to say that you can stun Kitty and then do extra damage with Daredevil. Also, if your last stun on her is Daredevil's purple, you can steal the massive strike tiles. So, yeah, that sounds like an awesome team. Unfortunately, I have tried my Spider-Man, and he's just not up to snuff with one purple cover. On to what D-Wing had to say. He said, so is there any way to turn chicken and waffles into a pie? Asking for a friend. And I think it was you, wasn't it, Samurai, that you posted a link to a chicken waffles pie that you can purchase?
So let me derail us for just a minute. Since Craig isn't here, I have to be the one to derail everything. I told the folks in my D&D group about trying to find a recipe for chicken and waffle pie, and I mentioned that recipe I found. Well, it's not really a recipe. It was some company was making pre-made chicken and waffle upside down pie, where you took the some mashed sweet potatoes and some mashed potatoes and some chicken, and you cooked it separately from the waffle, and you stuck it on top of the waffle. And somebody in the group said, "Man, I would love to try that." And it happens to be that her birthday is tomorrow, so I'm blowing off work a little early to come home and try and cook a chicken and waffle pot pie with okay. with shredded fried chicken and mashed sweet potato and a little maple syrup as the filling, and then sort of half cook a waffle, put it on top of the pot pie portion, and then stick that in the oven. It may work, it may not. I'll let y'all know next week.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is a brave endeavor. I'm impressed already.
I don't know. I'd have to eat it first before being impressed, but you know, okay. I'm not putting that much work into cooking, so. Yes, even
that's what
that
I was
work.
That's I was going to say that's when he had me sold. He was like, someone in my gaming group, their birthday's coming up. I'm like, meh, and? He's like, no way, I'm taking off work early. I'm inventing a whole new meal. I'm like, good on you, Samurai, hero of many.
Also, what D-Wing had to say, he said, not normally a fan of Jeopardy fiddling with stuff, but the team format sounds interesting. He says, for the longest time, I had mental images of Jeopardy champions being consumed with rage when Wheel of Fortune winners would win 3 to 10 times as much just by spinning a wheel. Winning at Jeopardy is a greater accomplishment. People should be rewarded accordingly. I totally agree with that sentiment. And by the way, did you hear the awful Jeopardy news?
I did!
Yeah.
This is... this is, apart from the bad news, I don't want to glaze over it too much, because it is, you know, stage 4 pancreatic cancer is pretty terrible news.
It's no joke.
I just can't tell you that there have been 2 more times in the Discord feed that Craig and Grinch have jinxed each other. It's really bizarre! Like, their comments are, they both owe each other a Coke. It's no good or no talking. I'll take either one.
Have we ever seen Grinch and Craig in the same room together?
They're posting pretty quickly together. That's a really good trick.
Yeah. So, maybe he has 2 phones. Like, well, Grinch is his left hand and Wooly is his right hand.
What do you think, Mr. Hat? In any case, if you didn't know, Alex Trebek announced that he has stage 4 pancreatic cancer. That's sad times.
Yeah, did you see his video announcement?
I did not.
Oh, he was super positive about it. He's like, it's okay, they'll all get better.
I hope he has his the life insurance that he's been selling for a while.
Oh yeah, Colonial Penn will help him. Yeah. All right, right back.
Back to
D-Wing. We'll never finish the show.
Yeah, it's true. He also said, I appreciate the adrenaline rush of expecting tires squealing and getting the lethal weapon explosion for the Crash of the Titans intro. That's actually not the lethal weapon explosion. Believe it or not, that explosion is from 1970s Battlestar Galactica. It took me a little bit to find that explosion. It's also used in a ton of other movies. It's one of the most used sound clips in all of television movie history. But it took me a bit to get the right one. Any case...
for those of you who don't know, this was just asked. This show is recorded and then edited by Ray and then produced in a way that it sounds even better. So if you only listen to it live, you're both gaining and missing out at the same time.
All true. D-Wing also said, letting non-Alliance people know, for a while, On day one, Ian was way ahead of Craig in Come and Get Me. So the Come and Get Me Thanos event that we just had, Ian, you were like number four, maybe higher.
Yeah, no, I love that event. It's fun. It's easy to play. It gives me, you know, the soul gems are out there, so it gives me a different goal each time. In fairness, wasn't he traveling?
Or
getting
possibly
ready to travel?
I knew there was
a reason that he finished, you know, 20th for the first time ever. I just got lazy. There was a day that, because the weekends, I just don't devote a lot of time to the game on the weekends because I have more free time. So I like to spend it with Kelly and Owen instead of playing the game. So
sure.
I get lazy, but I finished. We all made it to what's it called?
Personal progression. Yeah, everybody. That was pretty cool. Also, he said, small stampede and Pleasant Gap sounds like it should be a euphemism. You know, I've lived here long enough that using the name of the location, Pleasant Gap, doesn't make me chuckle underneath my breath anymore. I just know it is. That's that place, Pleasant Gap. But anyway, Pleasant Gap, right in the middle of Happy Valley. Pointless triviality. Yoda's grammatic structure of inverting the order of the subject and predicate, though still cleaving the verb and the subject at the end, is called anastrophe. There's a term for everything.
Okay.
I couldn't tell you a participle from a predicate. I'm just a simple farmer from Connecticut.
Man, that was Craigworthy.
I was going to make an effort to remember anastrophe, but it's gone now.
I don't know. I might remember that. I might have enough brain cells devoted to be able to do that. Meanwhile, Jordan from Jersey said, congrats to Ray for using the phrase class action correctly. I don't remember using that phrase, but hey, thanks. He also said buffalo chicken and waffles is where it's at. That sounds interesting. Good.
That's a project for weeks from now.
Ice melt and beet juice are fine, but I have an even better suggestion. Move to Texas. It worked wonders for me. Unfortunately, I don't think I could ever do that. Even Austin. I don't want to live in that far south. The heat, man. Heat. Ugh. In any case, New Carol seems fine, and I like the hermit. Seriously, I think it's a fun look, and I'm happy it's finally in the game. And as a man who grew up on a corn farm adjacent, the correct way to eat corn on the cob is however the F you want. That's what I was going for. Parandiak said, I'm with Ray on the chicken and waffles thing. Shredded chicken with gravy on a waffle sounds better than fried chicken and syrup. The syrup, it sounds too sweet.
Yeah, it does. Again, that's why you got to make some variations on the syrup and spice it up a little bit. But I'm with you. The traditional or non-traditional, the no syrup.
Tasty?
Yeah. No syrup is good.
Oh,
syrup
hey.
Pretty
we
good, too.
I think we might have skipped local news. He had a local news. He said Penn State is changing up the driving pattern in parking lots for this coming football season. Seems reasonable, but it's a slow news week. That's all he had.
Are they clearing nice helicopter lanes to get in and out of the parking lot?
That only happened once that I'm aware of. Eating corn on the cob, I also eat it randomly because I know it drives people crazy when they see that happen. Love irritating the people with OCD. All right. And Norman B616 said that he has made this breakfast casserole many times for work cover dishes, and it's always a hit. And he posted a link to chicken and waffles casserole.
You've won me back.
I'll have to, I'll post that in
Discord.
Is this
going to be similar to, yeah.
They layer the waffles in the casserole, and I may end up doing something like that.
Yeah,
I was trying to go to as close as a traditional pie as I could just to get under Joe's skin if he still listens. we'll see after a few minutes of trying to prepare things and finishing off the tequila from tonight's dish. It may end up being some sort of casserole.
My understanding is Joe still listens, I believe, to every episode, but he's not near a computer while listening, so he has trouble commenting, and he's got a busy life, man. He's got a lot going on, so I can't
believe it. If he's not busy this upcoming Sunday, I'm taking my son to the Chuck E. Cheese in his neck of the woods for his birthday. So if he and his kid want to come out, that'd be dope.
Nice.
And his wife. She's delightful. I didn't want to seem exclusive. I just trying to keep it brief.
And now it's longer.
Right. Made it much worse.
In any case, that was the last mail I've got. Thanks, Willie.
All right. So, I'm excited. Hang on. Oh, no, I lost my script. Hang on. All right, I'm excited again. You ready, Samurai?
I am ready.
All right. I am Hans.
And I am Franz.
And we just want, to pump. Oh, that was the worst ever. That was the best. Why don't you...
I'm going to listen to this tomorrow, and there's going to be like 84 claps, and I will have no idea where they come from.
He's just going to cut in all sorts of clapping sounds and a whole audience. That's fantastic.
The start of that one track from the Kill Bill soundtrack. The one where it's... Or the Don't Let Me Be Misunderstood, where it's just nothing but...
Oh, right.
Yeah.
For the, when she's getting ready to fight the crazy 88.
Yeah.
Yep. I can see the scene happening and hear the sound in my head. That's a good fight scene.
I think it's funny Grinch pointed it out. You didn't even say, you up. You just clapped you and that was it.
It was just so off. I was like, hopefully when Samurai fills their ear holes with valuable information instead of my mindless jabber, that'll make up for our totally out of sync clapping. And it was our first time.
It was our third, or no, it was our second time.
Second time.
we were in sync a lot better the first time, I think. I'm pretty sure.
All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, to follow up on that comment, you suck! I hope you get stuck on like four more rides!
Craig.
All right, five.
He'll get stuck on that ride where Tom Hanks shows up as a creepy Halloween weirdo.
He'd like that.
Ah, that's a good ride.
David S. Pumpkins? I'd love that.
No, there's this one where they're supposed to be animatronic. Sometimes it's Tom Hanks, sometimes it's Bruno Mars.
Right.
And the ride breaks down and they menace you and your ride mate.
All right, so right on. Shall I talk about some boosted characters?
Do it,
please,
Doug.
Please do.
Okay. All right, so this week, there's a lot of Carol.
Weird.
Yeah. Two-star Ms. Marvel Carol. And Wolverine. There's some nice cheap strike tiles there, and a very rare Black Power is boosted in the two-star tier. There's only like four of them, and one is from Torch, and one's from Moonstone, and those are both terrible, so you're pretty much left with either Carol or Bullseye if you want your Black AP to do something in that tier. Three-star, we've got Carol. Three-star Carol has a couple of similar powers to two-star Carol. For Two-Star Carol was quote-unquote the lazy Carol because when they brought her out, they copied Three-Star Carol's red power. They have a red shield breaker. You fire it off and it destroys a couple of protect tiles. But Three-Star Carol has that black, I'll do you some damage, but I'll give you a strike tile, but I'll also stun you for a turn. And then, of course, her yellow creates red and black AP, but it requires her to tank. And having characters that are in front gets really difficult. Like her usefulness is going to severely drop off as you progress into the 4-star tier, because if she's not going to be out front, that power just becomes less and less useful. Ian's favorite 3-star character is boosted Colossus.
Woo!
The most game breakingest character ever. His yellow is a nice power if you need to defend your team for a while to build up to a combo. However, there are characters like Carol that wouldn't want to be in front to do their thing, and that yellow power just it completely neutralizes anything they want to do or they need to be in front to do. His red is a decent amount of damage, and it's got a little bit of AoE if you can get him in front to start with, but it does so little damage for what it costs. Even when boosted, it's still not going to be as effective as an unboosted 3-star Cap. So if you've got Cap, run with him instead. In fact, if you're purely in the 3-star tier, 3-star Carol and 3-star Cap would be a good combination, because Carol can tank a little bit, help you build up that red really quickly, and then Cap can just throw his shield around left and right. And then, of course, Colossus has Fastball Special. It's got certain advantages. if four-star Falcon just happens to be your best character and Colossus is boosted, use Colossus because a couple of castings of Fastball Special are still cheaper than firing off his powers.
Exactly.
Three-star Falcon, there's a lot of... Grinch just broke me for a second. Advantage number one, Colossus accelerates game updates. Sorry, where was I? Oh, yeah. Three-star Falcon. All these characters that are creating special tiles, attack, strike, protect. Falcon is going to be really useful this week in that tier because his yellow is going to buff those special tiles even more. Red Wing won't see any changes, but the protect tiles and the AoE that he fires off from his purple will definitely get bigger. Psylocke. She deals some damage and she makes some tiles and... She's nothing special, but her powers are cheap, and she will help put some special tiles on the board, and Falcon can boost them. And, you know, if Captain Three-Star Carol can tank a little bit, she can probably help Psylocke create that red and black. She's really good if you have a character that says, if you fire a power, it does this. She's a good companion for somebody like that. Like, if you're going to pair her with Kamala Khan, her powers are cheap. And she lets you do that team burst heal more often. And then finally, Ragnarok. Man, Ragnarok is just not good with his third power. I kind of wish we could go back to the old two-power Ragnarok, because he was useful. His godlike is going to deal more damage, and so will his thunderclap. And his lightning rod is going to do a better burst heal, because apparently he doesn't get a true heal. But he... His lightning rod can be useful when he's boosted in certain weeks if somebody else that has a charge tile or that uses charge tiles is boosted. And there's just nobody up and down the board in any tier that uses charge tiles other than him. So this is, it's kind of I don't know if he just came up in the rotation or what, but this is just not a useful week for him. There are just so many characters unboosted that are going to be more useful than he is. So that's the three-star
I found his charge tiles to be very useful. I was fighting him with, I threw in my black bolt, and yeah, those extra charge tiles, hey, thanks, man. That helps.
Yeah, and if you're running, I mean, you're typically not going to be running a five-star that's boosted unless that just happens to be the five-star essential, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily, exactly, Thwomp. She-Thor and Black Bolt are good, but at the same time, Ragnarok is not essential to accelerating their abilities, and you can generally find other characters that, you know, if you're taking in four star Thor, if there's a required character that you have to use, then your other team slot is going to go to Battery Man. You know, why are you, you know, that's just, he's going to make Thor go off faster. 'Cause let's face it, if placement rewards are on the table, the name of the game is speed.
Yeah.
And this is going to be one of my sort of hems and haws about getting into the four-star tier this week, because there are some good characters in the four-star tier that are boosted. The problem is they're not fast. Some of them aren't fast, and that really does some sort of limit their utility. So let me go on to the four-stars. Let's start with Ant-Man. Ant-Man makes a lot of special tiles, and he can deal a lot of damage if you build up enough AP. But again, you have to, for example... his first power is purple, Pym Particles. It costs 9, you drop a trap tile, it's creating some beefy attack tiles every turn, you spend another 9, and then all of a sudden he's dealing like 20,000 damage or more. But that's 18 AP that you've spent to deal that damage. That's 4-star Falcon levels of expensive. And the damage at that point starts to compare to some of the top non-boosted damage dealers. But if you're playing PvE just to get to progression and you're not that worried about placement, there are going to be a couple of times where he's incredibly useful. Black Panther, another special tile spammer and buffer with a little bit of heavy damage thrown in. With his yellow, for 7, you're looking at a repeater tile that generates special tiles every other turn. The special tiles are going to be bigger. And of course, if he's got teammates up, when that repeater drops, those tiles, the special tiles it creates are going to be fortified and they're going to be even bigger. So you'll get some beefy tiles out of him. His blue will create some fortified protect tiles. His sort of the way he deals damage on his own is his blue passive. If you match one of your protect tiles, It deals damage depending on how many you have on the board, which is good if you've got somebody that can create a lot of projectiles. So if you're in the 3-4 star tier and you've got Falcon and Black Panther, Falcon fires off that purple, drops a whole lot of projectiles. Panther fires off his blue. He's created some more projectiles. Then when you match one away, you're dealing a decent amount of damage. But that's going to be kind of slow. And so if you know that's obviously not going to work in PvP. That's not going to work if you're at the end of your PvE sub-event and you're trying to, you know, finish off those last events as quick as you can to maximize your points. I know a lot of people don't necessarily play that way, but that, you know, for people who are being competitive about placement, that is sort of a huge deal. Also, 4-star Carol's boosted again. So, yeah, let's just take the whole of the rest of the 4-star tier and just sweep it away, because there is Carol.
Yeah.
Carol is the Alpha, Carol is the Omega. She will kill people real good. Like, if you look at the infographic, I just didn't even bother to write anything down about her. I just was showing off the damage that my Carol is dealing when she's boosted. For 7 black and 5 yellow, I can deal 42,000 damage to somebody. That will just about kill a 5-star Thor real good like. Now, the other really fun character that's boosted this week, Craig's like 4th favorite character, Domino. I love her board shake. And yeah. She has some really, really solid black AP generation. Her build really, really depends on what you want to do with her. Because Carol is boosted this week, absolutely run her 5-3-5. You want her green maxed so that she can destroy as many non-black basic tiles as possible. And you want her black passive maxed so that she drops as many black tiles as possible. The difference between her black at 3 colors or at 3 covers and at full covers is 75% of the new tiles are likely to be black versus 100% more. So when she's at full 5 black covers, you're getting twice the number of black tiles that you would normally get. And that's basically turning into one of every 3 tiles that drops from the top of the board is black. That's a lot of black tiles. You spend 7 to fire off her green, you destroy a whole bunch of random non-black basic tiles, all of a sudden you're making more and more black matches, and Carol's just will just eat that black AP up and drop countdown tiles and just start launching people into next Thursday. And then there's the Winter Soldier. I like him a little bit when he's boosted because he can deal a whole lot of damage if you can set all his stuff up right. I believe there was a non-placement event about a year and a half, 2 years ago that I used him in, and I hadn't fully champed him at the time, but he was still fairly well covered, fairly well leveled. And he actually was really fun to play with. He was just kind of slow, but part of the problem was you had to rely, his blue relies on enemies matching his trap tiles. So if you're running up against NPC goons that don't do matches, he's not going to be as good. If you run up against the Ultron sentries, he's still not going to be as good because some of them have those powers that at the start of the turn randomly destroy sections of tiles. And those don't count as the trap tile getting matched, so some of them just won't deal the damage. You know, he can deal a whole lot of damage if you get if his shoe kicks the ball down into the bathtub and flips the man into the sink, and you know the trap comes down, or however the game works. I mean, it's nice to have a max when he's the 4-star essential. It's kind of like Ant-Man. You're probably going to have better options non-boosted if you're looking for speed, if you're looking for just being able to knock things out quickly. As far as what I would recommend this week, Carol, like it's Christmas Eve and every house is offering booze. And that goes double if you have Domino Champ. She is like a brick on Carol's gas pedal. You know, if you find Ant-Man is your other good four, if he's boosted above where you're trying to what you're trying to do, he could be really good in PvE, especially with his yellow is going to create a number of countdown tiles. His blue is going to create countdown tiles. When those go off, Carol is going to buff the tiles based on those expiring and not just hers. Other than that, Carol, Ant-Man, Domino would not be a terrible team. Carol and Domino and just about anybody is going to be a good team by itself.
Especially so, anybody who uses countdown tiles.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, dust Coulson off and make that your third, because, you know, because every time you're firing somebody else, he's going to make another countdown tile. So whenever Carol fires her black, whenever Domino fires her green, another one turn countdown tile.
Yep.
So that's the boosted report brought to you by Mystify, which I have recently learned is an ancient Algonquin term for Ian Open Steam.
Mystify. I got tons of time to open Steam because, like, let me tell you what's next. Next is Ray and Ian Support Corner. You guessed it, UNC Samurai Edition. So, Ray, do you have anything that you'd like to share?
Yeah, I do, at least for a few more weeks. Hello, everybody.
Hello, Ray.
Hi, Ray.
This week, in-game support is, I kind of picked it randomly, the Taskmaster's Sword. This is a support that you can equip to any character. It's very versatile. The Taskmaster's Sword. Put on anyone you want. Anyone at all. Rank 1. With 1 star, the supported character deals extra damage to heroes. And that starts at 41 and goes all the way up to 779 at max level. Again, this is a rather, you know, niche power, but can be useful. Rank 3, the supported character's powers deal additional damage to enemies. So that changes it up quite a bit. That damage goes up to 1792 at max level. And again, that one is powers. And at rank 5, at the start of the turn, there's a 6% chance to fortify a random friendly special tile. So I find that interesting. Because he came out really near Prowler, and he can fortify the enemy tiles. It really throws out a lot of fortification if you use the two of them together. In that case, for the 5th rank 5 power, the percentage chance goes up as it levels, and it goes out all the way up to a 31% chance at the start of every turn to fortify. And as a special, when equipped to Taskmaster himself, when he fires a power, you create a strength 13 strike tile, and that goes up to a strength 239 strike tile. So that's every time that he fires a power, and it's not a percentage chance. You just get a strike tile every time. So there you go. This is one of those supports that if you get it, you put it on the character that it was made for. There's really no question.
If you get it, because it was hard to get a hold of.
Yeah, I don't think I have one. I didn't actually look. I assume that I do not have one.
That's usually a safe bet.
Yeah.
I mean, it was in one vault. I don't know if it's come around in some of the more recent vaults, but I don't know if it's a fully limited support in the way that the characters are limited. Yes, Grinch is correct. It was like the Infinity Stones. You could get it from the normal token pulls,
mm-hmm.
Because the Taskmaster of support tokens from that vault had it at 4x odds, but it was either, you know, win the lottery trying to get through that vault or win the lottery placing in that particular little mini PvP season. Either way, it's hard to get a hold of, but if you get hold of it, like you said, that rank 1 power, the dealing extra damage to heroes, is so good because people have been complaining for a while that there just aren't enough villains, and that's affected a few of the supports you've talked about in previous episodes. But on the flip side of that, that means if you happen to have the sword, there's a lot of heroes out there.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. I'm just thinking, I mean, you can only use this in PvE, and in most of the PvEs, you're not going up against the heroes, you're going up against, like, the Dark Avengers or, you know, thugs and the like. But there are plenty of events where there are heroes to battle.
The 3-day simulator, it's particularly useful in. It's useful when you have to fight Wolverine during Enemy of the State. It's also useful during Hearts of Darkness, especially in that last 5e node in Hearts of Darkness when you have to fight Black Bolt and Medusa and Lockjaw.
Yeah, one of the worst reoccurring nodes ever made.
Props to Old Man Sartute. Crash, crash, crash. Yes, I keep forgetting. Crash of the Titans, you can't use team-ups, but you can use supports. And that is going to be that would be an incredibly useful support to have going into a couple of those crashes.
Good point. In any case, that's what I've got for in-game supports. I don't remember. Am I passing to Samurai?
Yeah.
You are.
All right.
Thanks for sharing, Ray. Sure. Samurai, do you have anything you'd like to share?
Hi, I'm Samurai.
Hello, Hello, Samurai. Samurai.
So it's currently 10:01, or no, out now it's 10:02 in Wilson. Ray, what time is it in State College?
To the best of my knowledge, it is also 10:02.
Ian.
Yes.
What time is it in Williamsport?
I've got 10:02 in the PM.
So we're all on the exact same time. You want to know why all three of us have the exact same clock reading at the moment?
I do, because it seems fictional.
1883!
Okay.
That's a little shout-out for those of you who listen to the dollop. 1880s. The railroads dominate the American landscape. If you want to get from point A to point B, for example, if I wanted to leave my house and come see one of you in Pennsylvania, I'm taking the train. But every train's time schedule is different. Up in y'all's neck of the woods, the Pennsylvania Railroad synced its time to a device that was maintained by the observatory at what would become the University of Pittsburgh. All the railroads that are operating out of New York City ran off of a clock in Grand Central Depot. All the Chicago-based railroads are using their own local clock. But if you're traveling between Pittsburgh or Buffalo and Chicago, you switch over to Columbus, Ohio's clock. If you're on Santa Fe Railway, your clock is based in Jefferson, Missouri. And they were all different. So since the end of the Civil War, a lot of people made different proposals to standardize railroad schedules, because if you wanted to travel between different railroads, so let's say, for example, I wanted to take Southern Railway up and then switch over in D.C. to the Pennsylvania Railroad and, you know, come see y'all in central Pennsylvania, I would have to get a card from either the Pennsylvania Railroad or Southern Rail that said, if we say this time, this company means this time. And if you've ever looked at one of these in a museum, it's like there are multiple wheels and you have to match them up. And you have to, like Grinch says, you have to have a fox, a chicken, a bag of feed. You have to caulk the wagon so you can float it across the river. You have to make sure that you buy enough bullets. So it's just a big cluster, rhymes with duck. In the 1870s, the rail barons finally agreed to send, they were all going to send a representative to this timetable convention that they held in Louisville. And they all said, we're really worried that the federal government is going to force us to adopt some sort of time system that none of us are going to like. So let's all create a system that none of us like, but at least we made it ourselves. So they spend like the next 10 years hammering out this system. And finally, in Chicago in 1883, the major railroads agree to a 5-zone system for North America. And so a month later, at precisely noon, all of the U.S. and Canadian railroads sync their clocks to the new system. Eventually, the U.S. government formally recognized the railroad system. That was like a long time later. Oh, and in that same law, they gave us daylight savings time, which, you know,
Boo.
Everybody hates that. Yeah.
Boo.
So the reason why we all can enjoy Eastern time, Central time, Mountain time, the reason why, you know, Sunday at 8:07 Central is because all these railroads got together and said, we need to operate off of one single clock. And so that's how you keep your time, brought to you by Fortify.
Fortify
yourself.
Thanks, Fortify. Thanks, Ray and Samurai. All right, let's move on to everybody's favorite segment, or no one's favorite segment. I've never asked, but we do get to open some tokens, thanks to this guy.
Hey, this guy.
The OG, this guy.
I got some advice earlier suggesting I should get Steam going, so my token is an exciting 4-star token filled with none other than, you guessed it, Star-Lord. I hope you didn't guess it, because that would be odd.
1 in 80 chance.
So,
hot diggity dog, I could use it.
Oh, nice.
Yep, he just became a 5-4-4.
And how many saved?
2 saved.
Oh, okay.
He's not getting champed anytime soon, though, is he?
Not as likely as Luke Cage, but...
I was going to say, how are you doing on ISO?
324.
So you're close to being able to champ Cage.
Yes. Is he the right choice? He's superior
to
recently
the
reworked
right
Star-Lord?
Star-Lord is a good support. And you're at about 16 champ 4 stars now, if I remember from your roster earlier.
I could be. Let's see.
You've got a handful of the major important ones champed, and no. Power Man would absolutely be my next choice. I know you've got a bunch that are, like, your Kate Bishop and your X-Force Wolverine are all waiting on very specific covers.
Right.
So, yeah, no, go ahead and Champ Cage, and then if nobody else who is really, really awesome, like, if for some reason you get a couple of Medusa covers and suddenly she hits 13, she would absolutely jump Star-Lord.
Okay.
Otherwise, I think Star-Lord's probably going to be a decent choice for you.
Okay.
He's not bad. He's just not in the best. Like, there's just so many others. I didn't know you were up to 16. Congratulations.
I am up to 16. That was a very precise number. I counted them while you were saying that, and definitely up to 16 with apparently Star-Lord and Luke Cage fully covered and waiting. So, yeah. Slow and steady.
Cage is solid.
Yeah, and I like Samurai said, the ones that I do have champed are really satisfying. So there's not a lot of people that I'm like, oh, if only I had, you know, other than maybe Medusa and America.
Right.
You know, I've got Carol champed, I've got Peggy champed, I've got Coulson champed, I've got Quake champed, you know, Iceman, X-Force, Deadpool, other people who I feel like are very solid 4 stars. I don't know about any of the new ones. The new ones, I forgot about Gamora and Rocket and Groot. They're not even close, but, you know, they could be champed. I hear they're good.
Yeah. All right, I have 2 tokens.
Do it. I can't wait.
Am I going next?
Yes, please.
Okay. The first one is a 4-star, speaking of her, 4-star Quake. And secondly, another 4-star, a 4-star Carnage.
Ooh.
All right, so nothing grand right this night. However, I do have a bit of a story. So after our The Come and Get Me, I was able to get 3 of the Galactic Tokens. I got the one from the Vault, Carol Vault they had, and I got one from Personal Progression and one from Alliance Progression. I opened those up, and I got a Silver Surfer, a 5-star Carol, and a 5-star Star-Lord. 3 for 3, 3 5-stars. From 3 tokens.
That is much better than what I got. I got an Invisible Woman and someone I've already forgotten.
Now, this is after spending 250 command points to get 10 pulls of 4 stars. So I was, you know, I was a little angry about that. But then those tokens, bam. So no complaints.
So you spent, what, about 250?
Yeah, 250.
I spent probably around 1,000.
Yeah.
And... what really sold it for me was Star-Lord was in that mix.
Okay.
Star-Lord is the only 5-star that I'm missing an entire color for. And my Star-Lord prior to that pull was 300. So it's like, it's my one really just poorly off. And I was hoping in the course of getting a couple of Carol covers, I would get a couple of Star-Lord covers and at least get him up to like a 311. I pulled 1 purple, so I was happy with that. I did manage to pull 2 Carol red and a Carol yellow, so at least she's going to be level 300, so she's at least going to be viable when her 5E comes around. But the worst part was I pulled like 3 or 4 Surfer covers, so he went from like 451 to 455, and I've started pairing him with Thanos and Black Panther when I do the big enchilada at the end of the Deadpool daily. Just to see if I can kill the entire team in one turn. And so far this week, I've managed to one time get a match 5, and it fell properly so that Thanos decided to kill everyone twice. So one move, got my 3-star cover.
So did you get any Star-Lords? Or is he still the Great White Buffalo for you?
Who, for me?
Yeah.
No, I got 1 purple, so I'm only missing green now. So the only 2 colors I'm missing in the entire 5-star realm are Star-Lord's green and Carol's green. But, you know, she's new. I'll burn a couple more 100 points when Cable rotates out, and then it becomes Kingpin, Doom, and Carol. Because I really want to get Doom finished, because I think he's going to be... He's probably going to be the most important of those 3.
Yeah, I'd love to get more Doom covers. My 0-1-1 is lacking.
All right, so I guess it's my turn, isn't it?
Yes.
I have 5 spins. So... here we go. Big money, big money, big money. No whammies. And stop. Professor X.
Ooh, Punta Cana.
Lockjaw. Mr. Fantastic. Iceman.
Word it up.
And Fury.
4-4. 4-4 and 4.
Yeah, that fury is going to help you out when they turn him into a five-star Carol feeder.
ISO, command points. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. If either Fury or Carol becomes the feeder for Carol, I am set.
All right. That was opening of the tokens. Thanks, as always.
This guy.
To this guy. So me, tell me about the podcast network. Hey, thanks. We're a part of a podcast network called the Soon to Be Named Network. It's available at soontobenamednetwork.com. There are a variety of podcasts on there for you to check out and enjoy for your commute or otherwise listening pleasure. We have some direct links on our homepage, puzzlewarriors3.com, or you could check out the entire archive of current, hiatus, and defunct shows on Soon to Be Named Network at soontobenamednetwork.com. So I think this... Oh, nuts! That's okay. Everything's fine. Don't mind me.
Did we not come up with a clue?
We did
quote-unquote clue.
Yep. Your clue for next week is Dragon Man is going to fight Hellcat.
Wachacha! Try and figure that
one out. The chart is posted on our website. Check it out.
I mean, we kind of knew that was coming, but then again, I'm a wargamer. I'm used to Hellcats fighting Zeros.
All right. Yeah. It's okay. Do you guys have anything? Otherwise, I'm going to let us go.
I am satisfied for this week. Let's wrap it up.
Cool. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Samurai, for joining us, filling in.
Thank y'all for having me. If you happen to listen to Royfield Brown's 10 American Presidents podcast, you can hear me reading a couple of old-timey newspapers whenever he gets his next episode out sometime this century.
Nice.
We'll keep an ear out for that. All right. If you want to head over to our website, it's puzzlewarriors3.com, or you can check us out on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts. If you want to send us some comments, we can be reached through the website, through email, through probably Twitter. Reddit is a good place to post those comments. Ray will harvest them and read them aloud on the show if he finds them worthy. If you would like to support us in a financial sense and you like buying things on Amazon, we have an Amazon banner on our homepage. If you click it, then it costs you nothing, but we get a couple extra cents. Or you could head on over to the Super Duper support page over at Patreon and become one of our patrons. There are some tiers for pledging and benefits that go with them if you want to check those out.
Yeah, if you have an idea for us to do something on the show, you can sign up for Patreon and we'll see what we can do.
Right. And if you want to listen along live, like so many others do, you can find us on Discord. Or you can go over to Cafe Press. This is unrelated, but this is just, again, this is mixing listening and enjoying the show with shilling ourselves out. So you can go to Cafe Press and go to /forward/ Puzzle Warriors 3 and buy some Puzzle Warrior themed swag and, you know, the coins keep rolling in. merchandising. Get a Puzzle Warriors 3 flamethrower. The kids love it. All right. So goodbye for now, and vote for Dragon Man. Goodbye, friends.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.